I want to thank you for checking out another podcast of Ferocious Talk, where we ain't scared. My name is A1, and last week's podcast was extremely, extremely good. It was part one. We talked about the effeminization of black men. I had a guest on, Greg McKnight Jr., who is a very outspoken spoken word artist out of San Diego, California, and his insight into this particular topic sparked and is continuing to spark a lot of debate and a lot of conversation, which is the whole point of the podcast and of these conversations. So, before I get into today's topic, let me first always, or as always, say I want to shout out Black Lives Matter. Please keep doing what you're doing. We need you. The only thing Black Lives Matter has ever espoused or spoken about is that Black life matters. We're not more important. We're not less important. We're equally important. And what's frustrating about that is just getting equal treatment, meaning we just matter. Seems like it's pulling teeth. Like people resent the fact that Black people have the nerve to say, just respect us the way you respect yourself. But we know America doesn't pride itself on respecting Black people, and that's okay. It don't mean that those same Black people, including myself, are not going to make you respect us and continue to do so until you do. So however long that takes, 10 years, 20 years, 50 years, 100 years, 1,000 years, America, you're going to respect it. And at the very least, you'll keep hearing about it until you do, because it's the right thing to do. You want us to respect you, then at the very least, respect us. All right, now, let me tell you where you can find me. You can find me at podomatic.com under Society and Culture. You can find me at iTunes under the category Personal Journals. You can also find me on Twitter at We Ain't Scared. Also at Ferocious Talk. Pardon me. Now, weaintscared.com is going under some renovation and reconstruction. So that will be back. Also, you can still get over to ferociousforflint.com. For those of you who do know, and even for the ones that don't, it's worth saying, we're on a 10-city tour. We are about to have our 12th show, our 12th fundraiser for Flint. We are going around the country. We are having benefit concerts, raising money for water filters for the residents of Flint, Michigan, that have been without clean water for over 3 years. So we will be in Detroit on Saturday, July the 15th, and we will be in Flint on Saturday, July the 29th. If you're in those areas, please come out and support. And if you're not in those areas and you are on my Facebook, Mark, capital A-O-N-E, Macklemore, you can follow me there and you can purchase tickets. We also have a GoFundMe link. We Ain't Scared GoFundMe link. You'll see that there as well. Okay, now, let's go ahead and jump into today's topic. And again, I want to shout out Greg McKnight Jr. for his courage and conviction for sparking this entire debate that started with rompers on Facebook. For I'll never be able to figure out for the life of me why rompers seem to be this fad trend or whatever, but every year there's something that sparks it. So today's topic is the effeminization of black men, part two. And these are my thoughts on that entire topic. There's a few pages, quite a few pages that I wrote. So please bear with me as I work through it. I'm not going to rush. I'm going to take my time to make sure that the proper emphasis is placed on this particular topic. Black men need to be protected, defended, and respected. So here we go. Now, I can honestly say that last week's podcast with Greg was insightful, meaning thought-provoking, and insightful, meaning it caused a stir, based on the emails, social media, and text messages that I received. I will also say that this podcast has been going for over a year, and that particular podcast received the most downloads in one day than any podcast that I have ever done, which tells me that it is an important topic. It is there are a lot of people that are interested, right? A lot of people want to hear about this. A lot of people don't want to know, they don't want their name or face known, but based on the downloads, I see you and I know that you're listening, which is okay until you get the courage to speak up. Now, again, I put some thought into certain aspects of the topic, and the two words that kept coming back to my mind is respect and disrespect. And here's what I mean. Respect. Number one, is it possible to respect a black man that wears a dress? I immediately think about Tyler Perry, but we'll keep going. Is it possible to respect a black man that wears a blouse, as in some hip-hop artists? Is it possible to respect a black man that carries a purse? We mentioned Lil Uzi Vert. Is it possible to respect a black man that wears makeup? And fifth, is it possible to respect a black man that wears skirts? Now, for me, as a heterosexual black man, the resounding answer is no. The irony is black men in America have, for hundreds of years, been disrespected by white America. And that it boggles my mind that we would contribute to our own disrespect, which leads me to my next comment, which is disrespect. Number one, black men, we spend a great deal of time fighting for respect, or as as Birdman says, respect. Put some respect on my name, which generated hundreds, if not thousands, of memes. But anyway, put respect on my name by our actions. But we're contributing to the disrespect of ourselves as black men. Now, of course, this is a semi-free country, and people can do what they want. But for me, the issue of respect and disrespect is number one in the black male mind. You hear it in music, sports, and in the streets. Respect me for what I do. Respect me for my contributions. Respect me for being a hard-working black man. Respect the work I put in to help take care of my family. Respect me for simply surviving in a country that hates black people, but in particular, black men. So when I personally see black men adding more insult to our injury, it disturbs me to no end. We as black men have got to step outside of ourselves and decide, just like any other culture, that we will not allow the world to put us in dresses for their comfort because they can't handle a strong black man. Now, we have to decide that we will not allow them to put us in drag just so they can handle our big black penises around their white women. Yeah, I said that. And it's going to get deeper. Yeah, because let's not get it twisted. This all comes down to sex. Meaning, if white America can somehow extinguish our strong black male sex drive, or divert or redirect it, they can protect their white women from our penises and procreating. Now, some might hear that and say, wow, why so conspiratorial? The truth is, the plot to kill black people and control the minds and hearts of black people goes all the way back to the Willie Lynch letter. Now, I'm not going to get into a lot of detail with that. You can Google the Willie Lynch letter, right? It was a Caribbean slave owner that created this letter to teach the slave owners how to pit black slaves against each other. Old against young, light against dark, mother against father against son, daughter against mother. It was all planned, and you can read about that. Now, they systematically controlled, violently controlled, I should say, slaves by pitting us against each other. It's the old divide and conquer, and then ultimately control. But I digress. I'll get back on message. As I was saying, white America loves to be entertained by black men, i.e. sports and music, but beyond that, they want us impotent. They want us to be eunuchs without our strong black maleness intact. Their fragile white spirits cannot handle our ability to outthink, outsmart, and outmaneuver them. So they decided to create an attack on our manhood. The black penis fertilized the entire planet, which is why there is so much secret and open obsession with it by females, and unfortunately perverted males all over the world. This conundrum of outright disgust combined with outright obsession and fascination is what is causing our current climate of a feminization of black men. The entertainment industry has a very intoxicating environment, literally and figuratively, and it allows for any and every inhibition to be obliterated. And for those secret proclivities to come to the surface. Interestingly enough, we know that it is rich white men that control most of entertainment, which by default means that it is rich white men that encourage and write huge checks to young black men to dress like women. So what does that tell you about the secret and overt obsession that white men in the industry have with a fascination about the black penis and rectum? I posed a question on my Facebook page today that what if Eminem on his next album cover came out wearing a dress, holding a purse, wearing makeup? What would the reaction be? And we all know that everyone would look at Eminem like he was crazy. What is wrong with Eminem? But when a black hip hop artist does it, it's, oh, wow, that's cool, that's great. No, it's still a problem. And again, it goes back to slavery when white slave masters engaged in buck busting, when they would tie the legs and arms of the biggest, strongest black male slave and put his rear end up in the air, and the white slave master would sodomize this black man in front of the entire plantation of slaves, including the slave master's wife. Now think about that. Just let that sink in. The white male slave master had anal sex with a black male slave to show his dominance. And then that same white slave master would go inside and have sex with his wife. So, did that make that white slave master bisexual? Or was it just business? Either way, you don't get an erection unless you like what you're looking at. Period. This behavior has not gone anywhere. It has just taken on a new form. The biggest new hip-hop stars are young and impressionable and will do most anything for a check to escape their poverty-stricken conditions, since America thrives on putting black men, black people, but we're talking about black men, in the ghettos and hoods of America and keeping them there. Now, I don't pretend to have the solution for this issue. I truly don't. But I can say that how much of our souls are we going to sell until we are literally walking down the street wearing heels, wigs, dresses, and carrying purses just like our mothers? Now, I want to achieve great financial success just like the next black man, but not at the expense of my dignity, and most importantly, manhood. Does black maleness have a price tag on it or associated with it, or is it priceless? To me, it's priceless. But to the sellouts that support this effeminization of black men, they've put a price on it. And it's whatever the industry will pay, whatever they will pay you to put out, literally, to put out, and then put out in terms of record sales. Now, again, let me be clear. I'm not here to tell anyone how to live their life. I'm simply responding to how some black men have chosen to openly and publicly live their lives. So, if you're going to wear women's clothes on an album cover, go to a red carpet event wearing lipstick, heels, and carry a purse, because you're doing it publicly, I then have a right to express myself about how I feel about it, which is I do not support it. Not now, not ever. There has to be a line drawn somewhere. Now, I will not sit silent and watch black men engage in a co-conspiratorial role to help white America plunder the black male, of which I happen to be. I would be contributing to my own demise, especially when white America wants to emulate everything we do, from our walk, talk, mannerisms, speech pattern, music, sports prowess, and general demeanor. Side note, this is something I observed last weekend. I was at a pool party where I live, and it was 100% white men, women, and children. And the only music they had playing was hip-hop by black men and women. What does that tell you about how much we have influenced white America? There was no rock, there was no country or alternative. It was pure hip-hop. And I stood there for about 10 minutes watching. So in short, black men are the driving force in America. We are. We always have been, and we always will be. Because we are the originals. We are the originators. We just have to see the value in ourselves, and all this foolishness will end. Yeah. Well, those are my thoughts. I want the dialogue to continue. Again, I don't pretend to have all the answers, but I do know that with enough conversation and enough dialogue and self-reflection, that hopefully there will be a consensus about what we need to do. All right. Well, I want to thank you for checking out another podcast of Ferocious Talk. You got some good food for thought. My name is A1. I want to shout out Greg McKnight Jr. Keep doing what you're doing. Again, Ferocious Talk. And as we always say, we ain't scared.